Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, "So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Verses 1 through 16, all of Hebrews chapter 4. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the power that rests upon your word. Thank you for the wisdom, the grace, the strength, the healing, the encouragement, the light, and so much more that your word is just so full of. Thank you for the privilege we have of being able to open your word every day and consume it, draw from its power and grace and encouragement mightily. Lord, more and more, help us to grow to become the wise stewards and disciples who follow you daily, who are wise enough to fill our hearts, our minds, our lives with your word every day and to draw from it all the grace, the blessing, and light that's found there. Thank you for that opportunity. More and more empower us to be diligent in doing just that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I just want to thank you so much for Scripture. Thank you so much for calling us to read more of it and for having so much of your word available for us to study. Father, thank you so much for speaking to our hearts directly, for speaking to us directly, Father. Father, I ask that you'd give us a spirit of wisdom, that we could better understand the Scriptures. And Father, I ask that you'd give us boldness to follow them better too. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. And for those of you that may listen on a pretty regular basis, I want to remind you, the fact is we regularly deal with the topic, obviously, of prayer and discipleship here on the Hour of Intercession. And our hope is that daily you're growing as a prayer warrior and growing as a disciple and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, it's very helpful for us to be clear on what our goals are with anything that, as it relates to the kingdom of God. And, you know, again, as we talk about the word discipleship, you know, 100 different believers might give us 100 different definitions of discipleship. But basically, a disciple is a learner, a follower of Christ. And I would say that, again, one of our encouragements to you is that you will become very diligent about wanting to be a good and a faithful disciple and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac, wanted to ask you a question here, and I'm hoping it's a question that all of our listeners will ponder as well. But in view of the fact that discipleship is a critical topic in Scripture, from your perspective, Isaac, why would you say it's important for the church on an ongoing basis to both preach and teach about and always examine discipleship and grow in their understanding of why it's important? How would you respond to that question?
I think in following discipleship, I think there's a key difference between being a disciple and a student. I think that there's a lot of us in church who remain students, who consistently learn and take notes and read, but where we might stop there. I think discipleship really steps in as we try to actually take what we've learned and apply it. As we look at the way Jesus lived with his disciples and apply it, the way that Jesus walked with his disciples, the way that he invited them into the ministry with him, the way that he sent them out later on, and then finally gave them the reins for them to be the main moving force in ministry. Emulating Jesus and his relationship with his disciples in applying ministry, I think that's where the discipleship comes in, of not just being a student, not just learning, but in growing with other people. And in that, I think as we try to nurture discipleship, you can't really take the reins and drive discipleship. That's kind of backwards for the way discipleship really works. To nurture discipleship, you have to be in a place of servanthood. Mm-hmm. You have to be a servant, offering resources for where they are already growing and where they are growing in their calling. You have to help them along as they're doing their work rather than you telling them exactly where to go.
You know, that's an interesting response to that question, and I appreciate you sharing your thoughts there. And I think you make a very important point as it relates to just the reality of what a student is, you know, because I think often in our society and in our culture, as you just alluded to, students, they're learning but not necessarily applying. And the reality is to follow Christ, and as we examine how he taught and trained his disciples for the 3 years of his earthly ministry, when he worked and walked with the disciples, they were learning, but they were applying, and they were watching him very closely, and he clearly gave them opportunities to live what they were learning as they went too. So it makes a powerful point.
You can see the beautiful progression of the disciples growing with him as they do start just listening to him and following him. And then like one of the key transition points is where he multiplies the bread and loaves, or the bread and fish, and they pass it out. Well, he breaks it, he blesses it, breaks it, and then he passes it off to the disciples, and they carry it to the people. All they're doing is carrying it. They're not actually doing the miracle. All they're doing is carrying the baskets. But then later on, he sends them out, and they go and start teaching. They go and start exercising demons. They go and start praying for healing for people. And so now they're participating, but always returning back to him. And then finally, whenever after the crucifixion and resurrection, he says, "All right, it's your turn," and leaves it up to them. And so with us following discipleship in that same pattern, there's steps that we have to do to grow up and to safely learn, honestly, but to just grow in maturity in those tiers of responsibility.
Well, again, thank you for sharing that, in those insights and that wisdom too. And I think it's good for us to note this too, that, you know, often in the church, we may talk about the 3.5 years Jesus spent with his disciples, which was good and very productive. Yet at the same time, Jesus clearly let him know he had to go in order to send the Holy Spirit. So in a sense, it's like the ministry continues, you know, very much so, because the Holy Spirit now cannot just be in the place where Christ physically was, he can be with all disciples everywhere, all over the world as well. And he continues to be our supernatural divine tutor, teaching us, guiding us, doing in many things Jesus did with his disciples as well. So
I think it lines up perfectly with the Great Commission of us continuing to do all that he started teaching, that he began doing.
Again, thank you just for sharing those thoughts, Dan. So today we're looking specifically at the topic, Kingdom Warriors, Seven Ways to Use Your Sword. And, you know, we often talk about this, but again, it's one of those topics that I think on a pretty regular basis, we need to keep talking and looking at it. I want to share an article that's entitled, Seven Ways to Use Your Sword. I think we've shared it before, but as usual, we want to encourage you, please email us to get a copy of the article as a resource and a tool for you to hang on to use personally, to use in the discipling of your family, but also to forward and share with fellow church members, saved and unsaved persons, fellow workers, any and all you're led of the Lord to share it with. Again, the title, Seven Ways to Use Your Sword. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Again, Ephesians 6, verses 17 and 18. Then Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Again, Matthew 4, verses 1 to 4. Then Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Again, Hebrews 4, 12. The most powerful weapon in the universe is the Word of God. And the Word of God is also known as the Sword of the Spirit. So the Sword of the Spirit is the most powerful weapon in the universe. Without question, this statement is very powerful, true, and accurate. One might ask, how can you even begin to prove such a point? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Word of God is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is God, and he is the Son of God. The universe was created entirely by God and the Word of God. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 tell us, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." Again, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. So we as believers are wise to make it a high priority to read and meditate on the Word of God every day. Reading and meditating on the Word of God daily are ways to wisely use our quote-unquote sword. And reading and meditating on God's Word daily is a powerful battle strategy for battling the kingdom of darkness. One may respond to this statement by saying or thinking, reading and meditating on the Word of God seems so passive and not aggressive at all. How could this activity possibly be a spiritual warfare battle strategy? Well, it is clearly a battle strategy and a very productive one. As believers spend time reading and meditating on God's Word, he or she is fortifying their mind, body, and spirit against attacks from the kingdom of darkness. Also, we're dressing ourselves with the full armor of God. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. And we can pick up right there on the other side of the break. We're sharing from an article entitled, Seven Ways to Use Your Sword. We'll be right back.
It's the song of the redeemed. rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none rings truer than this.
Music from the Newsboys, He Reigns. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, Kingdom Warriors, Seven Ways to Use Your Sword. And I was sharing from an article by the title, Seven Ways to Use Your Sword, picking up once again. The universe was created entirely by God and the Word of God. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 tell us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Again, Genesis 1, verses 1 to 3. So we as believers are wise to make it a high priority to read and meditate on the Word of God every day. Reading and meditating on the Word of God daily are ways to wisely use our sword. And reading and meditating on the Word of God daily is a powerful battle strategy for battling the kingdom of darkness. One may respond to this statement by saying or thinking, reading and meditating on the Word of God seems so passive and not aggressive at all. How could this activity possibly be a spiritual warfare battle strategy? Well, it is clearly a battle strategy and a very productive one. As believers spend time reading and meditating on the Word of God, he or she is fortifying their mind, body, and spirit against attacks from the kingdom of darkness. Also, we are dressing ourselves with the full armor of God. See Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. Time reading and meditating on God's Word prepares us to step out on the battlefield of life to walk in victory. Wise parents will spend much time strategically equipping their children to read, know, and walk in the wisdom of God's Word as a lifestyle. See Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 9. So allow me to share seven ways to use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. This includes the two just mentioned and five more. We can read it, and again referring to the Word of God. We can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. Putting God's powerful word to work in your life daily is not just a nice thing to do. Whether you walk in victory or defeat in life is directly related to how well you learn to use your sword. Make it your goal to put your sword to work every day throughout the day. Like the Lord Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4, boldly speak the word of God in the face of the temptations and challenges of life. Christ defeated the devil as he boldly spoke the word of God, and you and I can boldly do the same thing. Here are a few habits I would suggest we each consider putting to work in our lives and in the lives of our family every day. Number one, begin the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible every day. Also, parents, begin the habit of having each of your children to read at least 3 chapters out loud to you daily. Number two, choose specifically to read over the same chapter at least 3 times a day. Again, going over the same chapter at least 3 times on a given day. Number three, locate many promise scriptures in the Word of God. They can be promises that address healing, provision, protection, etc. And very deliberately confess them daily, no less than 3 times each day. And then number four, pray Psalm 91 every day over you and your family. This is a great example of praying the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for all the believers that are listening even now. And thank you for all those persons we've lifted up in prayer today. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked, because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation. No evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot, because we have set our love upon you. Therefore you deliver us. You set us on high, because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us, and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. In summary, remember that we are wise to use our sword, the sword of the Spirit, every day. Putting the sword of the Spirit to work daily is extremely wise on the part of any believer. However victorious you are in your life can be directly related to how skillfully and faithfully you put your sword to work in your life every single day. Again, the title of that article, 7 Ways to Use Your Sword. And again, we're encouraging you to get a copy of the article and use it again for your personal spiritual growth, to share with your family for family discipleship, but also to forward and share with, again, coworkers, fellow church members, saved and unsaved individuals as well. Please do forward and use it. And remember, it's easy to forward email. And so discipleship email, it's an easy way to do the work of discipleship. Once again, my email to get a copy of this article, joseph@afr.net. Again, joseph@afr.net, and we'll be glad to get that to you. Now, again, as we're looking at the topic, Kingdom Warriors, 7 Ways to Use Your Sword. Again, keep in mind, we're encouraging you to take this very, very serious, that you'll really make it a goal to seek to use the Word of God in all 7 ways in your life every single day. Again, I think of, for example, the first one we mentioned, reading and meditating on the Word of God. It's a powerful spiritual battle strategy to read and meditate on God's Word every single day. No matter how passive it might seem, it's a powerful battle strategy because it's equipping you to be a mighty warrior in God. Serious disciples diligently need to be diligent students of God's Word who are reading and meditating on His Word daily. Psalm 1 is a reminder of the importance of being a student of Scripture. Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Again, all of Psalm 1. And then a psalm that actually is a very similar psalm, Psalm 112, tells us these words, Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Verses 1 through 10, all of Psalm 112 as well. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to take the sword of the Spirit, your word, and use it as we read and meditate on your word every day. Lord, do a perfect work in the heart of every person listening even now in Jesus' name. Anoint us afresh with an anointing that would encourage us diligently to be students of your word who will spend time significantly reading and meditating on your word every day. And help us to be wise enough to take this wonderful battle strategy and use it for all it's worth in line with your perfect will. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, that was Psalm 1 and Psalm 112. Well, the second thing that we've mentioned, second way you can use the word daily, not only can we read it, number one, but number two, we can hear it. You know, you can read something, but not really hear it. So it's important that we read and meditate on the Word of God with the goal of really hearing what God has to say. In the book of James, James chapter 1, it tells us these words of insight. James chapter 1, starting at verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. That was verses 1 through 10, James chapter 1. Then skipping to verse 21, it tells us these words, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Verses 21 to 25, James chapter 1. Keying on verse 22, once again it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Yes, we're to read and hear God's word. And you know, obedience to God's word is one indication that we've really heard it. In other words, we've learned it and are beginning to apply it. So we're to not only read and meditate on the word of God, we're to hear the word of God genuinely in our hearts and our lives. Then the third way to use it, we're to believe the word of God, to choose to believe what God has said. Well, again, our obedience is an indication of belief because, again, we're acting on what we've heard. We're to not only hear his word, we're to choose to believe what God has said. That's an important truth to be mindful of. I think of in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27 is a good, strong encouragement psalm. The first words of Psalm 27 tell us, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Do I really believe God's word? When I read it and read words of wisdom and promises in the word of God, do I believe it? Do I believe it to the point of really stepping out on it again? So belief in God's word is very, very important. Not only can we say, are we to say that we've read it, but we're to choose to put our faith and trust in the word of God as well. Father, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace. Help us more and more to maximize our use of your powerful word in our lives daily. Help us to know, Lord, that there's so much wisdom in us really making time in your word and time utilizing your word and putting your word, the sword of the Spirit, to work daily is so productive. It's so fruitful that each of the ways we can use your word will really, really bless our lives in so many ways. Help us to be wise enough to maximize our opportunity to utilize your word in our lives daily. And we thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. And help us, Lord, as parents and grandparents, to maximize the way your word can impact our children as we have them to read your word, as we talk about your word, as we encourage them to memorize your word and to put your word to work in their lives. Thank you for the opportunity for us to not only live it, but to teach and train our children to hear it and live it as well. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking today at the topic, Kingdom Warriors, 7 Ways to Use Your Sword. We'll be right back. Music of Fred Hammond with You Are the Living Word. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, Kingdom Warriors, 7 Ways to Use Your Sword. And once again, if you're wanting to get a copy of the article we shared earlier, article entitled 7 Ways to Use Your Sword, simply email us joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Again, as we talk about God's Word, one of the goals is that you would come to the place that you would grow in your walk with God so that you understand that God's word is critically important to every part of your Christian life. You and I are to be diligent students of God's word, believers who read and meditate on the word of God daily. But keep in mind that, again, as we've already mentioned, there's great value and blessing in reading and meditating on God's word daily. There's great value in really hearing the word of God because it's certainly possible to read it but not really hear it. Thirdly, there's great value in not only reading the word of God but believing the word of God, stepping out in faith that it's really, really true. You know, sometimes subconsciously we can read something but not necessarily really believe that it's true. It's important that we're believing God's word to be true. Then fourthly, again, we're to obey the word of God. As we read in James, again, chapter 1, verse 22, again, it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You know, we can read God's word, but not choose to obey it. You know, I think of this, that, for example, in the Lord's Prayer, we're taught to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And also a part of the Lord's Prayer tells us, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We're called to forgive. Forgiving people is a very important part of the Christian life. Yet, sadly, it's tragic how often you may run into people who say they love the Lord, but are full of bitterness because of anger over some anger towards someone or because of a situation that happened where they're still holding a grudge. It's very dangerous to choose to not to forgive. Remember again, we're praying in that prayer, in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So in a roundabout way, it's as if you're saying, Lord, to not forgive that person because they're not forgiving somebody else. You don't want to be in that position. It's important to understand forgiveness is critical to every part of the Christian life. God in His grace forgave us tremendous sin on our part. So if God can forgive the tremendous debt we had to God, if God can forgive that, how important it is that we forgive the much smaller things that other people have done against us. Now, some listeners may think, well, no, you don't seem to realize how badly I've been hurt because of what this other person did to me. Well, no matter what they did, and again, the fact is we live in a cruel, wicked world where people do terrible things to other people, no question about it. But again, no matter what has been done against another person, it's not as bad as how offensive our sin is against God. It's very important that you and I become, again, skilled at forgiveness. Because if God can forgive us, we in turn should be quite willing to forgive any and everyone else as well. So if we choose not to forgive, then we're walking in disobedience. And keep in mind, people that don't forgive, again, according to Scripture, it's indicating that, again, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Remember, unforgiven people, you know, people that don't forgive, again, they can jeopardize their eternal salvation. Again, Scripture is clear about that. It's important that you take it serious. Become skillful in forgiveness. Don't hold grudges. So we're to be obedient. We're to hear God's word and obey God's word as well. Then next thing, we're to not only read the word and hear it and believe it and obey, we're also to speak the word of God. It's a battle strategy, again, to speak the promises of God's word in our lives. We're called to be hearers and doers of God's word. And so speaking God's word is a very important battle strategy as well. Our words matter. Our words matter. In fact, keep in mind, the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we're to speak God's word. We're to speak the promises of God's word. And keep in mind, you're never wrong to agree with God. So when you stand on a promise, even if it doesn't appear to be true, remember, it is true. It's truth. And the more we speak and stand on it, the more the manifestation of that truth can come to pass in our lives as well. So the fact is, sometimes it may appear that a given promise isn't working in our lives. But again, remember, there's a difference between truth and a fact. A fact is something that's subject to change. Truth doesn't change. And you're to stand on the truths of God's word to bring the manifestation of that truth to be at work in your life as well. So it's very important to remember speaking God's word is always a wise thing for us to do. And our words do have power. In John chapter 21, starting at verse 15, it tells us an interesting interaction between Christ and Peter. Again, John 21, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now, keep in mind, I think in a very real way, the Lord Jesus was more or less reinstating Peter as a disciple. Peter had, in essence, fired himself. How did he do that? Well, he denied Christ before his crucifixion, not just once, not just twice, but three times. He denied knowing Jesus. And so, again, our words have power. Our words have power. Our words have great power in our lives. In fact, it could even be said that you and I are the prophets of our own lives. When you speak the words you speak, They have great power and influence in your life and in the world you live in. So in a sense, Peter sort of fired himself. So Jesus, again, knowing that Peter had denied him three times, asks him a very important question, basically three times. Peter, do you love me? And so Christ, in his mercy and grace, more or less, is reinstating Peter as a disciple once again. Speaking the word of God is a very important part of walking with Christ. Speaking the promises of God to bring the manifestation of those promises to pass in our lives is a very important goal for every believer. Daily, speaking God's word. Well, a few moments ago when I shared the article, we shared an example of the next way of using it. We can pray the word of God. So praying the word of God. When you pray Psalm 91, that's one example of praying the word of God. And then finally, then meditating on the word of God. We're called to read and meditate on scripture. You know, once again, Psalm 1 tells us, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Again, it says, in his law does he meditate day and night. Again, it says, in his law does he meditate on it day and night. To read the word of God and meditate on it as well. Remember, all seven of these activities are powerful ways to put the word of God to work. All of them are battle strategies we can use as we put the word of God to work in our lives in each of these ways. So to read and meditate on the word of God, even though meditation may sound passive, may sound like it's really not that powerful a way to battle darkness, it's a powerful, powerful way to battle darkness. To read and to think on what the Word of God says, to read and meditate on the truths from God's Word, these are ways to build the kingdom of God and tear down the kingdom of darkness. Father, anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of grace that would empower us to be wise enough to maximize in an even greater way Your word, the sword of the Spirit in our lives. Help us to recognize, Lord, that your word is you, and you are your word. And as we read and meditate on your word and put your word to work, more and more we learn how to walk in victory as we allow you by your grace to reach through us and do a mighty work in us and through us in the midst of our putting your word to work. Help us to be wise enough to read your word daily, to hear it daily, to believe it daily, to obey it daily, to speak it daily, to pray it daily, and to meditate on it daily as well. We thank you and praise you for it. And help us to not only be wise enough to do this in our lives, but help us to be wise enough to teach and train our children to do the same. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, we've been looking today at the topic, Kingdom Warriors, Seven Ways to Use Your Sword. And as I mentioned, too, again, if you wanted to get a copy of the article that we shared earlier, we're glad to get it to you. Again, Seven Ways to Use Your Sword. We would definitely encourage you, email us to get a copy of it so that you'll have that in your personal discipleship library of resources. Again, Seven Ways to Use Your Sword. My email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Now, praying God's word, as we alluded to, we mentioned, and we prayed Psalm 91. You know, Psalm 91 in particular is a unique weapon in all of the word of God. Remember, all of God's word is the sword of the Spirit. But you can very well say that the word of God is not only the sword of the Spirit, but in a sense, the whole Bible, all of God's word is an arsenal of weaponry. An arsenal is basically a storing place, a place where you have many weapons and ammunition stored. Well, the Bible is just that. It's an arsenal of spiritual weapons as well as being the sword of the Spirit. May we daily be wise enough to take that arsenal and use it to step out on the battlefield of life, to go forward in victory every day of our lives. Lord, anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of grace. Help us to be kingdom warrior minded. Help us to recognize that as we grow in our spiritual skills of taking your word, the sword of the Spirit, and using it wisely, productively, and aggressively, that we daily can be involved wonderfully in building your kingdom and tearing down the kingdom of darkness. Thank you for that opportunity. Set us on fire afresh with the Holy Spirit of prayer. Empower us to be the people who are taking your word, using your word, battling with your word effectively every single day of our lives. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, today we were looking at the topic, Kingdom Warriors, 7 Ways to Use Your Sword. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you've never given your life to Christ, or you sense a need to recommit your heart to the Lord, we invite you to pray this prayer of salvation or recommitting your heart to the Lord. Would you simply pray this prayer with us to make that step or those steps in your life today? Lord Jesus, you have loved me with an everlasting love. Thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrongs I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live for you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray and spend time with you in prayer daily. Help me to obey your word daily. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just gave your life to Christ and prayed that prayer with us, we're inviting you to please get in touch with us. We definitely want to share with you some resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Once again, my email to get those resources, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please get in touch with us so we can get these to you. And again, if you're still wanting to get a copy of the article we shared, the article title, 7 Ways to Use Your Sword, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'd be glad to get it to you. Thank you for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.